Well, what do you have that lasts forever? Are you looking to invest? Are you concerned about your future? What about your long-term goals? How about retirement? Are you thinking about retirement? Well, we all should be, shouldn't we? Everybody's so quiet. It's like it's a trick question. But it is something we need to think about. And the world puts the emphasis on financial gain, but really, financial gain has very little to do with your eternal gain. You need something that will last forever, something that will last beyond this life. Sooner or later, we all die. Isn't that right? It's 100% guarantee. 100%. Nobody lives forever. Sooner or later, we all die. The great news is that Jesus said he's overcome the world and he has conquered death. So if we invest in Jesus, we can have eternal life. Hallelujah. So Christ is our investment. He is our focus. He is where we are investing our time and our energy and our resources, and all the things that life is about really have very little value unless in some way Christ is honored. God is glorified in it. And in that moment, when we sow into the kingdom of God, we reap the benefits of life eternal. We reap the benefits of entering into a relationship and communion and fellowship with God. And you and I are not just living on this. This world is not all there is. There's more to eternity than what we even know or understand. And that is why Jesus came into the world. He came into the world that you and I might have life everlasting, the Word of God says, eternal life. That is so much more important than financial gain, isn't it? Now, we all know we all need money, don't we? Anybody here not need money? No. So money is important, and it does play a significant role. But our faith and our trust should not be in financial gain. It should not be in the abundance of the things that we possess, but it should be in our eternal destination, the kingdom of God, the very thing that you and I are a part of. We are living our lives today while citizens in the kingdom of God. The day that you receive Christ as your Savior is the day that you become a citizen of heaven. We call it heaven, but it's really the place where God lives, the kingdom of God. And you and I have already got a stake in that kingdom. And you and I, one day, we will experience it and be there for ourselves. And there is no greater experience than to walk with God. It changes your life. We've been talking about the metamorphosis that God is working out in our lives. We're all being changed and transformed. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Yes, outwardly we decay. These bodies, they get old. But within us, there is a soul. There is our personality. There is the very essence of who we are. Our conscious self is inside. It's a part of our eternal existence. It is who we really are. And that part of us lives forever. Lives forever. And that's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Ha, ha, ha. when you invest in the kingdom of God, when you give your heart to the Lord, when your life is being sown for the sake of the kingdom of God, it has eternal rewards. There are heavenly rewards. And so as we are looking at this idea of how we are being transformed in this world, in this life, into the image of Christ and into the kingdom of God, we are being renewed in the Spirit of God. And this strength of God, this power of God, this anointing of God is what stirs us. It's what ignites us so that we can have strength and power to do the very things that God has called us to do. And he's given us gifts and he's given us talents and abilities so that we could accomplish this great experience of demonstrating the kingdom of God for those who don't know him. And God has a way of bringing people to life, transforming us and renewing us and reviving us, giving us a brand new start every day. The word of God says his mercies are new every morning. You know, that's awesome, isn't it? Because when we make mistakes, when we fall short, which we all do, yesterday is gone. God says, it's over. Start fresh today. God says, his mercy is new today. He is not holding on to yesterday. And that's why if we confess our faults and our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Have you ever traveled before? Have you ever traveled?
Yes.
Yeah. And you ever gone to a foreign country where you have to exchange currency? You ever have that issue, right? Man, that's always funky, isn't it? You never know if you're really getting a good deal or not. I don't know about you, but I always feel like I'm being cheated in some small way, that I'm being gypped out of some amount. But because I don't understand the exchange rate, I don't really know. I'm trusting that the person who is giving me the other currency knows what they're doing. Isn't that right?
Yes.
That takes a lot of faith in a way, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because you're really trusting. Because these exchange rates, they change every day. Every day they're different. And that is hard to keep up with. And so when you and I are living our lives, did you know that we are traveling somewhere? We are on our way somewhere as we go through life. We're not just surviving as time goes by. We're not just living a life trying to pay our bills and trying to make sure we keep a roof over our head. That is not what life is really all about. Yes, that's a part of life, but that is not what life is about. Life is about the kingdom of God and your relationship to it. There are those who choose not to believe or not to think about it or not to want to even worry or concern themselves with it. And so they invest in this life. They invest in this world. They invest in the very things around them. And these are all perishable things. They're all things that do not last forever. And they're all things that when you die, you cannot take them with you. They get left behind. And depending on how well the other person who receives them takes care of it, they might last a little bit longer. But ultimately, they fade away. And so you and I are investing in the kingdom of God. It has eternal value. When one day you are going to travel into God's atmosphere, into his presence, into the place that Jesus said he's prepared for us. And you and I will need to have the right currency. We will need to have gone to the currency exchange. The currency exchange is the place where you turn in what you have and you receive what they have. And that's what Christ has done for us. We come to Christ and we turn in what we have. We say, look, Lord, I don't have anything but me. I'm giving my life to you. I don't have anything that is of value, that is equal to what you can give me. So, Lord, I need you to give me yourself. I need to change myself for yourself, because myself is sinful. It is lost. It is faulty. It has shortcomings. It has got all kinds of issues and problems that prevent it from entering into the kingdom of God. And so I exchange. Let's make a trade. I trade my life for yours. And Jesus says, great. That is what I came in the world to do. I came to give myself to you, my life for you. I died that you may have life. Will you receive my life in exchange for yours? A life for a life. And we all said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, good deal. That's a good deal, isn't it? And so we exchanged. It's not like the world. It's not money, right? You never know how this is going to match up when you're exchanging human goods. But we're talking about our souls. We're talking about our very life. Not just the soul that you can't see, but we're talking about the soul that is living in these bodies, and how these bodies are being lived out will determine what is happening in your soul. What's in a man will come out, the Word of God tells us. And you and I are living every day based on the condition of our souls. Whether we realize it or not, every decision we make, everything we do is based on the condition of our soul. What is happening within us? What is happening in our minds? Whether or not the Word of God is renewing us and transforming us, and the work of the Spirit of God is working within us, whether or not we're surrendered to God or not, that all gets played out in our daily lives. How we interact with other people, how we carry ourselves and what we do and the places that we go and how we prioritize the things in life. It's all part of the currency of heaven, of the kingdom of God. God's currency is different than human currency. And so I'd like to use as a title today, the divine exchange rate. The divine exchange rate. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would help us to understand the importance of currency exchange, that we would be able to receive what you have in exchange for what we have, that our lives would be a life of sacrifice, one that is being sown for the sake of your kingdom, that we would be ready to relocate when you call us home. When our time is up, when our day is over, Lord, you will start afresh and you will breathe new life into us because of the divine exchange rate. Because Christ died for us and we have placed our faith and trust in him, we too have life everlasting. And we are grateful and thankful for all of these things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, are you ready to relocate? Are you ready for relocation? You know, you can't move unless preparations are made. You cannot move to a new place, a new country, or a new city or town, or a new home of any type, unless the place is made ready. You have to have paid your down payment, right? Isn't there a down payment? And then there's a security deposit, right? They always get you with that. And so there's preparations that have to be made. You have to turn the accounts from the electricity and the cable and all of the other systems that are attached to the house have to be turned over into your name. Isn't that right? And so in order to move in, for it to become yours, there are all types of preparations that need to be made for relocation. And you and I are one day going to relocate. We are going to move from earth to glory, as they say. We are going to move from this world to the next. And there are two places you can live in the world to come. You can live in the kingdom of God, or you can live in everlasting darkness and torment, separated from God. It's one of those two places, and what enables you to find yourself in one of those two places is based on what you are doing today. What you are living out in this life determines where you will end up in the next. And that is why it's important to live our lives in harmony with the Word of God. Jesus came that we might have life. He breathes life into us. He is the very living breath of God. He is the ruah of God. In the Old Testament, when Adam breathed into Adam, it says he ruahed into God. He breathed a breath of life. It is a combination of breath and spirit that gives life to mankind. It was the only creature that God breathed into that way. And so you and I are unique because we're made in the image of God, and God designed us to live eternal lives. And as a result, you and I are to receive this life through Christ. Adam sinned. By one man, sin came into the world, the Word of God tells us. But through Christ, we are able to be redeemed. God restores us. So everything Adam lost, God says, I'm giving it back. And so in Christ, we receive what Adam lost. And that enables us to walk with God in the cool of the day. That enables us to fellowship with God, to commune with Him. It enables God to speak to us, and we can hear His voice and follow Him. We're able to be those who are more than a people with an argument or the ability to debate someone about the things of God. We are people who have an experience with God, who have been able to live our lives as a testimony before people about God. And you and I are living witnesses of how God can change a life, how God can transform a person, how God can make old things pass away and all things become new. You and I are a people who are a witness to the reality of the kingdom of God and its power. Saints of God, the Word of God is clear. That Matthew 6:20 says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Think about that. How many of you lock your doors, right? Oh, yes, we do. We lock our doors. People are always locking things out. Why? Because people have boundary problems, don't they? People don't understand boundaries. They don't know where the line is. And so they have no problem going into things that they should not go into because they do not have the rights or the authority to do so, or the permission, if you will. And so God says you have to store up your treasures in heaven so that you don't lose them to everyday conditions, to regular situations and circumstances that exist. The things that you and I face every day are just the things that go along with a fallen world. This world is cursed. People say, oh, why is there so much evil? Well, the world is cursed. Well, what do you think? The land was cursed. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. That's why God put them out of the garden, so they didn't take from the tree of everlasting life and be stuck in that lost condition forever. He put them out so that now at least there was a hope of renewal and transformation. And that's what Christ does. He renews us. He revives us. He breathes life into us. God's currency is not man's currency. He is not looking at the things that we possessed or at all these things that the world finds to be of great value. God says, no, it's the condition of the heart. It's what's going on within you, because that is what is causing you to do the things that you do, the way you do them, the condition of the heart. In Luke 6, 19, it says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. Now, this man was a rich man. Now, there was nothing wrong with him being a rich man. In fact, there are many rich people in the Bible. Abraham himself was a rich man. The thing is that sometimes riches have people rather than people having riches. And this man was in a situation where he was caught up. How many of you have been caught up before, right? You get caught up. You're on the rat wheel and you're just running. You're doing all the things that you need to do. And there's just one thing after the next, and you're just going. You're putting out one fire over here to put out another fire over there to fix this over here and to fix that and to make sure this gets done and that gets done. And you're just going. Well, that's what this rich man was doing, but he had plenty of resources. In fact, it says he dressed in purple and fine linen. That's the sign of royalty. When you were of royalty, they had a class society, and in a class society, each class dressed a particular way in order to designate the class that they were in. And so those who wore purple and fine linen, those were the ones who reflected the upper level. These were the rich. These were the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Yeah, that goes way back. And so this man lived joyously. It says living in splendor every day. This guy was living splendidly, joyously. But there was this poor man named Lazarus, and he was laid at his gate covered with sores. Think about this. Can you picture this? Here's the rich man living lavishly. He's living it up. He's dressed in royal clothes. He is celebrating life every day. He's enjoying himself. What better place for a poor beggar to go than right in front of his house? Oh, yeah. How many of you would love that? Yeah. Yeah, no, you wouldn't like it, would you? But this man was placed at the gate, and it says that he was laid there. That means he couldn't even get himself there. Someone had to bring him there, and they laid him down. And he just laid there, and his desire was that he would be able to glean from the rich man. Somehow, this rich man passing by might have mercy on him, might do something for him, might help him. It says in verse 21, longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Wow. I found it interesting that it says the crumbs were falling. You know what that means? This guy had so much food, so much of a resource that it was just overflowing. It was falling off the table. It was, you know, you ever been to an event, we've had them here, where you got food everywhere. It's like all over the place. And you know, at the end, there's always food that people spilled or dropped on the floor. Have you ever had that experience? Yeah. Well, this beggar was like, I'm hoping for that. He was hoping for that they would bring that out and give it to him. And so here he is suffering. And then to top it off, the dogs were coming. The dogs were coming to lick his sores. Now, this is an interesting thing because I found it interesting that the dogs came. I believe God enabled those dogs to come lick his sores. Think about that. Oh, my goodness. And it's because, did you know that dog saliva has proteins in it called histidines that have healing properties that ward off infection? What? Come here, little puppy. Oh, now you all want to get a dog. Get rid of them cats and get yourself a dog. All right. Sorry, Liz. But who knew? And here I'm sure he's laying there and people are thinking, man, this guy is suffering. Man, what a life. Look, even the dogs. Ooh, the dogs are coming. But God was keeping him alive. God was providing for him by allowing the dogs to come and lick his wounds. And what fell from the rich man's table was able to be given to him. The scraps. One man is living lavishly and carefree, and the other man is suffering in agony and in pain, and he is in danger of dying from the wounds in his body. And so it's easy to overlook God's blessing. It's easy to forget that God is able. And even sometimes when God is making a way, we don't always recognize it. Who would have thought that the Lord would provide a way to prevent his sores from becoming infected? You know, that was the Lord. They didn't have the technology to figure all that out, did they, back in those days? No, I don't think so. But God knew. And God made a way for this man to live. And I found it interesting that it was tied into all these things that God has been doing in people's lives for years. In fact, in Mark 12, 29, it tells us that Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes who were there asking him which was the greatest commandment. He says, the greatest one is this. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. This is what you put your effort in life into for the sake of the love of God. Are you giving God not only your heart, but your soul and your mind and your strength? Is your mind being renewed by the word of God? Are you gaining and utilizing the strength of God's Spirit to do what God has called you to do, what he's gifted you to do as a witness and a testimony to him because of the love of God that dwells in your heart? Do you love God that much? Well, this is what the word of God tells us. And he says, second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. You see, the rich man, he was loving himself quite well. But he sure didn't love the poor neighbor, his beggar, who just moved outside his gate, the same way he loved himself. He didn't invite the beggar in and say, what are you doing out there, man? Come on, I got plenty. No sense in eating crumbs. You might as well share around the table. He could have. He could have said, I'm going to send out plates of food. Listen, give this guy whatever we got. Just give him a sample of it. Kind of the buffet. But that didn't happen. Why? Because he was caught up. He was caught up in his regular routine, in the way he did things. And he wasn't thinking so much about the guy outside. In fact, he didn't really think about him at all. And even though he had to pass by him to get into his own house, God says we need to pay attention to the blessings in our lives, the opportunity to be a blessing and the opportunity to receive a blessing. God is doing things in our life. He is doing things all around us. There are people who need the help that we can offer. There are people who need to be blessed, and there are people who can bless you. And God is making a way in your life in ways that you don't even realize that it's God. How often do people get healed from some sickness or something, and they talk about the great care they received at the hospital or the doctor? Not even acknowledging the fact that God had to play some role in that in order for it all to work together to benefit you. Even if it's just timing and the fact that you went to that particular place and not somewhere else, the Lord ordered the footsteps of the righteous. So God makes a way, even when it seems like it's impossible or there is no way. God has the ability to do abundantly more than what we could ever ask or imagine. And that is why we can be free to love each other, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be helpers of one another, to even sow, to give, to do whatever it is that God says to do. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Have you heard what the Spirit of the Lord is saying as you go throughout your day? Live your life with an ear towards the kingdom of God. You have a stake in that kingdom. You're storing up treasures. Whenever you obey the word of God, whenever you do what God says to do, you're storing up a treasure. You're saying, "Yes, Lord." And God says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Isn't that what you want to hear? Hallelujah. That's what we want to hear. In verse 34, it says, when Jesus saw that the scribe had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. He said, "You're not far," because he had an understanding of what it is that life is really all about. It's about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the root of the gospel. It is the root of the law of Moses. It is the very essence of what God has done in the life of humanity. You and I are called to be those who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit of God: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. You and I are able to do these things because the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He speaks to us. And even when you don't feel like it, you're like, "I'm going to persevere. I'm going to press in. I'm going to press through." And once you break through, God pours out on you. Hallelujah. God will pour out on you. When you take that step of faith, when you're saying, "Oh, I don't really feel like it. I'm just going to lay here and sleep. I'm going to lay here and rest. Or I'm going to just watch TV. Or I'm going to do some other thing. I'm going to not do whatever it is that I should be doing or I'm thinking about doing." And when you don't do it, you rob yourself of treasures. You deplete yourself and you end up poor for the kingdom of God's sake. And so you and I are called to seek God with all we are. It's an investment. It's an investment that has heavenly returns in your retirement. Retirement from this life. Hallelujah. How many of you are looking forward to retirement from this life? Hallelujah. Yes, we should be. And that's why we're investing. I know people, right? We all, on our jobs, we want to know, what is the retirement package, right? What is our retirement package? Do I have a 401k? You know, what do I have? Do I have some sort of pension plan? You know, what is it? I need to know. And how long do I actually have to really work to get the benefits? And we try to figure it all out and we calculate it down to the day. We're like, I've got just a little bit more time left before I can retire. Yes. And we all get happy. God says, one day you will retire and you will enter in to whatever your future will be for the rest of eternity. And that is why we invest in the kingdom of God. How do we invest? By loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. It has retirement value in the kingdom of God. In verse 22, it says, the poor man then died, and he was carried away by angels. Ooh. Right? Away he goes, carried away by angels. Isn't that awesome? That's great. But then it says he went to Abraham's bosom, and while he was being carried away, not long after, the rich man died. Isn't that interesting? In other words, they lived kind of, you know, within a reasonable time of each other. But it doesn't say the angels came for him, does it? It says the rich man also died in what? He was buried. In other words, well, no angels for him. No heavenly escort. Why? Because he wasn't going there. He wasn't going where the angels are, where the angels came from. He was going to another place. And there are only two places to go, saints of God. I don't know about you, but I'm rooting for the angels. Not the Los Angeles angels. I'm talking about the angels of God, the ones who came and sang over the shepherds by when they were watching their flocks by night. I'm talking about those angels. And you and I, we are looking forward to God redeeming us. He's coming to take claim because we have invested in the kingdom of God. We have sown into the kingdom of God. And you and I, when we die, we will be greeted by a heavenly host. The Lord will receive us. Hallelujah. But this rich man had a better experience than the poor, than the poor man. He didn't have the heavenly escort. It says in Hades. Ooh, not Haiti. In Hades. Hades could be nice, right? You know, you go to Haiti, you know, you're there on the beach and you know, you got all kinds of, you know, beautiful sand. Well, this is Hades. That's a whole nother place. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw. Notice what it took for him to have a revelation. What is it that caused him to wake up? All of a sudden, he could see. And now he sees Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. The word there also is at his side. It's the same word that is spoken of Jesus in John 1:18, where he talks about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father, at the side of the Father. And you and I, we have a place with Jesus. We have a place. We will be with him. It's the idea like John would lean on Jesus in the upper room. He was leaning on his breast, on his side, in his bosom is the word there. You and I are able to have a close relationship. That's what that means. That there's an intimate relationship. There's a love for one another that exists. And so here is Abraham. He's got Lazarus there just loving that fellowship, that communion, being together. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you love that? Don't you love being in the presence of God? Just absorbing and taking it in. Oh, aren't you excited to come to church on Sunday? Man, how many more days before Sunday? I just want to get to the church. I just want to go, I just want the worship to wash over me. I just want to just worship God. I want to praise God. I just want to see my brothers and sisters. I just want to lean. Oh, man, I just want to find something good to eat. Got to get that cafe working downstairs. And that is because of the Spirit that is at work. It's the Spirit that's at work. And so it says, he cries out and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony where? in this flame. He's in the fires of hell. He is being tormented. And the interesting thing is that this is not a parable, saints of God. This is a real life story. This actually happened. This is not just some story that Jesus is telling, because in parables, Jesus does not use names. In parables, he describes situations and circumstances, and he will use phrasing that takes the identity of a person away. But this is a testimony. This is a real life story. It is the testimony of what has taken place. This is a fact. This actually happened. And so here is the rich man saying to Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Now, water in the scripture is the word of God. It's living water. And he wants it to drip down to cool off his tongue. Once you see water that moves, it represents the Spirit of God washing and renewing. And so he wants to be cooled off. And there's nothing cooler than the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life. There is nothing cooler than that. And I'm telling you, the more you see and perceive the things that God is doing in your life, the more you experience God for yourself, and you're able to have a revelation and see the hand of God in your everyday life, how God brings you through things, how he navigates you all through and beyond situations and circumstances, how he enables you to overcome even challenges and hardships that you don't even understand how it even happened, but somehow you made it through. That is the hand of God. God, he sends people. He causes people to come into your life, to speak to you, to bring words of life to you, to encourage you, to build you up, to help you to learn and understand things you didn't know or understand. He enables people to breathe life into your situation. God is at work in your life. It's just hard to see sometimes. It's hard to recognize sometimes. But trust God. You are not forsaken. He has not left you. He is with you always. The Word of God says he will never leave you or forsake you. He will even make a way when it seems impossible. Oh, God is doing a work in your life. He is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want people in the flame. God is not looking for an opportunity to send people to hell. Ha, 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 ha. Send them to the fire. No, that's sci-fi. God is looking to redeem people. He's there with the net trying to catch them before they fall in. And God is trying to make a way. And he's saying that Christ is the way. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Store up those treasures in heaven so that God will be glorified and he will take pride in Christ in you. Hallelujah. God will cause your life to be transformed. Verse 25 says, Abraham says, child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. Ooh, you are in agony. In other words, I can't help you. You made your decisions in life. You see that? He said, during your life, you received your good things. In other words, you lived your life to the fullest. You lived your life your way. You did whatever you felt like doing or didn't feel like doing. You didn't have any concern about God or about anyone else or anything else. You just did what you wanted to do, and you reaped your reward. But now, Lazarus is being comforted. He is being comforted. The word there that is used in reference to the Holy Spirit of God. He is our comforter, our paracletus, one who comes alongside us to comfort us. He is our legal advisor. And so that's what the Spirit of God will do. And that's why you're investing in the kingdom of God. When you receive Christ, the Spirit of God comes into your life, and that's a down payment. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of what is to come. The Spirit of God, where you will dwell, you will abide in his presence. The Spirit of the Lord will be with you always. The riches of this earth do not transfer to eternity. There is no bringing your earthly resources with you. Sorry, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. No. There are no little store treasure pockets or closets or any type of drawers built into the casket. You can't take things with you. They don't transfer to eternity. Verse 26 says, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that no one may cross over from there to us. Hallelujah. So there is no coming back. There's no looking down. There's no looking back. There's no way. You can't. The people who are in eternity, they can't see the people in this world, on earth. I've heard people say, oh, they're looking down on you. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not even thinking about you. Not at all. Not at all. Nope. Grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa. Do you think that of all of the lineage in your family that died and went on before you, that they're all up in heaven looking down, going, go, man, go. Go, look at them. Oh, look at, that's my boy. Oh, that's my boy's boy's boy. Oh, that's my girl. That's my girl's girl's boy's girl's girl's boy. Yeah, woohoo, come on. Do you think that's what they're doing up there? All right, let's think these things through logically. Let's not be so quick to believe some of this stuff that people come up with. It has no biblical basis. But they can't see. They can't see. There's no way to communicate from one realm to the other. There is no looking back. You can't. Otherwise, if you could look back, you could see all the misery, all the suffering, all the hardship, all the difficulty. Then that brings more misery into the kingdom of God. So God has to cut it off. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. New. New. You have a new life when you step out there. They're enjoying the presence of the Lord. They are living their life in eternity based on the decisions they made in this life. And there's no looking back. He says, then I beg to you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Now the rich man wants Lazarus. It's like Lazarus is somehow Abraham's errand boy. He is like, look, could you like send him? He is like, why? Why would he even think that? That's just crazy. Well, because he's a rich man, and that's what he does. He pays people to do stuff. He goes and send them here, send them there, and that's kind of the way it works. And so here he is thinking that in heaven it works the same way. But that's not the case. He is resting. He is being comforted. He can't be running errands. Can you be comforted and rest while running errands? Any of you who have kids and have to take them here and there and all around, you can have somebody on the phone. Well, don't worry. It's going to be all right. Meanwhile, you're driving. You're trying to get where you're going. And, you know, you can't have both. It's one or the other. And so verse 28 says, I have five brothers in order that he may warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. He's got five brothers, and he wants them to be warned. And so he's saying, send them there. He couldn't go himself because he was in a place of torment. But there was something about Lazarus's experience that made him feel like Lazarus could run errands. Well, Lazarus was laying in front of his house with sores and suffering and everything. But apparently now he's healed. Hallelujah. And that's what he could see. He could see, wait a minute, Lazarus no longer has sores. He's no longer in a place of suffering. He's there relaxing. He's entered into the joy of the Lord. There is a new life for Lazarus. Lazarus is having what I really wanted. In fact, we've traded. He's got even better than what I had in their old life. Send Lazarus. He'll go back from the dead. He will go back from the dead and tell them what happened. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And saints of God, that is why you and I are called to be witnesses, why we are called to testify. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will what? What? Not listen. They will repent, exactly. Repent, that's more than listening. Repent means you hear and you're so deeply impacted that you change the way you live. You change the way you make decisions. You change the priorities of your life. And when you are repentant, your priorities change. And all of a sudden, the things of God become of great value to you. There's a currency exchange that takes place. And all of a sudden, you are investing in the kingdom of God so that God can be glorified. And you have a divine experience. And every day, God makes a way when it seems impossible. Verse 31 says, he said to him, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Can we all say amen to that? Oh, it is the truth. Isn't that what Jesus himself did? Isn't that what the disciples are all about telling the world after the resurrection? You and I are here today because we have heard the story that Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death, and now we have life, life everlasting. And there is nothing that is impossible for God. So this is the message of the gospel. Jesus rose from the dead. This is the very message that is from those who came back from the dead. It is the message of Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the only way, the Word of God says. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Oh, saints of God, are you rich today? Are you rich? Jesus came down from his throne in heaven. He came alive and he came down and he has given us life. He became poor. He suffered and he was beaten. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, that by his stripes we are healed. We are made whole. We are made complete. That is how Jesus became poor, so that you and I might become rich. This is what life is all about. Do you love him today? Do you love him? Do you have this exchange taking place in your life? There's a currency exchange that is at work. And I don't know about you, but I'm sowing into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. In Acts 13, 52, the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You see, the rich man, he was living in splendor, living joyously every single day. And now here are the disciples. They, because of the Spirit of God, are living joyously every single day. Do you want to live joyously every single day? Oh, be filled with the Holy Spirit, saints of God. Let the Spirit of God fill your life. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, don't just get up and go. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Have your way in my life today. Let me be used of you that I might store up treasures in heaven. Help me to be a peacemaker, one who reconciles people back to God, who is a witness and a testimony as to the reality of the power of God, and that it is real and that he is at work. Romans 8:9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And that was what the rich man's problem was. He had riches, and the riches had him. And he lacked the Spirit of God. And so he did not belong to God, which means he had no investment in heavenly places in alongside Abraham in his bosom. And so you and I are investing. You and I are experiencing God in ways that other people can see, and it can be a testimony as to the reality of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. It's Pentecost Sunday. Let the Spirit of God flow in the midst of your life. Let the Spirit of God be breathed on you. The Ruah of God, the Pneuma of God, the life of Christ and of God. Be blessed in the Lord. Be filled and lifted up, so that God would be glorified in your life. Verse 11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus up from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Saints of God, be invigorated today. Be empowered today. Be strengthened today. Let life flow through you today. Allow the anointing of God to transform your life. Be renewed and revived, not with human currency, but at the currency exchange of God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let the Spirit of God arise in you. Let new life be imparted to you. May you be lifted up and exalted. May you be healed, delivered, and set free from every form of oppression and bondage that would work against you. And let the glory of God be risen up in your life. Let your children be blessed and your house be blessed. Let the Spirit of God wash and flow with new life, life everlasting, as you stand before him at the divine exchange rate and place of God. That you are now ready for relocation abroad in the Spirit of God. Amen. 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 And hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Participate in is tied to a heavenly experience, and that is why it's important for you and I to invest in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? We love God so much, we pray without ceasing. We love God so much, we trust in him with all our ways, and we don't lean to our own understanding, but we acknowledge him. And when you acknowledge the Lord before you make a decision, when you pray about things before you do them, when you just say, God, show me the way. It doesn't have to be religious. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just
it. Just say, Lord, show me. Lord, help me. Lord, make a way. Lord, enable me. Lord, help me to overcome. Whatever it is, let God be a part of it. And you start bringing in the dynamics of the kingdom of God. Acknowledge and say, and God will show up. Call on him, and while you are yet speaking, he will already be on his way. And while you are speaking, he will have sent the answer, the word of God said. And you and I are able to receive of God because the Lord is abiding in our midst, and he is in us, and he is with us, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be concerned about. Death is just death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Where is it? It doesn't exist because Christ has redeemed us. He has delivered us. He has removed the sting of death. And you and I, we can live. The angels bear you up. The Spirit of the Lord will carry you away. And God will redeem you, and he will make you new. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh, God, that you would fill every
prayer to pray.